Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's June the 1st. Happy birthday to me. It's time for your Impact Wrestling post-show. It's good to be Impact. It's good to be Impact as long as you're ready, willing, and able to commit to a whole lot of shows clumped tightly together, because Under Siege was this past Friday. Cressa and I did have our post-show. And then we have Impact tonight. Next week, we have, of course, on Thursday, the Impact post show, along with the post Ring of Honor show. And then the next night, being the Friday, will be the post Against All Odds show, because apparently Impact is running show after show after show after show after show. And we love Impact, so we're going to cover it. Cressa Starr is with me, as she always is. How are you, Cressa Starr?
Now that you've ran off all of that wrestling, all I could think of, and I don't think you've ever seen Bad Girls Club, but there's a clip of it where someone says, I didn't get no sleep because of y'all, and y'all ain't getting no sleep because of me. And that's how I feel about wrestling right now. Like, my weekends, who needs them? I'm going to be at home watching Impact, and they did a good job of stacking up Against All Odds so close. Who needs sleep? Who needs a weekend?
Not me.
Not me either.
I haven't slept in days. I took a nap this afternoon because I'm so sleep deprived.
I love that for you.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? Sleep deprived daddy is what you see. Okay.
That was a good one. That was a happy birthday, Joel. Ladies and gentlemen, we love Joel.
Anyway, let's go. There is wall-to-wall wrestling coming up. Like I said, we will be here next week for the post-Impact Wrestling show on Thursday, and then we will be here on Friday for the post-Against All Odds show. Stacked card. We will run it down this week, because it appears they've already set the card, and then next week we'll give our predictions. But why not start, as we always do, with BTI and Mr. George Iceman? And by the way, I knew exactly where Mr. Iceman was filming this week.
Are you being a creep, Joel?
No, I just happened to know he was in downtown Toronto, and I was like, because he had the Universal Music Canada sign behind him. He was filming upward, and I'm like, oh, I know exactly where that is.
I would have been fooled. I'm like, maybe they're in California.
You would think so, because A, the weather was beautiful, and like he had pseudo palm tree looking stuff.
Yeah.
I get it. And then I just looked around. I was like, wait a minute. That's Liberty Village. I know exactly where he is. Anthem's offices are like right there. So that's probably
what. Nothing gets past you, Joel.
No.
I will say this before we talk about George Iceman. I have never seen BTI run the recap where they did it entirely in black and white. I had just happened to have it on the whole time. And when they recapped Macklin versus PCO, they showed that whole clip, that even the post-match clip, in black and white. Macklin was so bloody that I've never seen that. Holy cow. That's all I wanted to bring up.
Had to get them past the censors on YouTube. Otherwise, that show was not aired. And not even YouTube, because they aired the show, I think, on... they show it on Access? Either way, like wherever they show it, it needed to get past some censors in order to get clearance. And I get it.
I mean, I don't hate it. It kind of made it look more menacing, which was like, yikes. I don't want to see that in color. I could watch it in black and white, not in color, Your Honor. I'd watch it in black and white.
Well, you're talking about the black and white finish. Well, George Iceman says that there's no Scott D'Amore because he'll take time off due to the injuries he sustained from the flaming table incident. And Bully Ray is going to explain why he did what he did at the top of the show. But of course, with no Scott D'Amore, will the inmates run the asylum? And I'm like, well, I mean, last time he tried, Santino showed up, and Santino's still on the show as far as I can tell.
Cool, yeah, man. Like, Santino's there unless Dango's going to... Nah, Dango already tried to take him out. He doesn't die, so...
Santino doesn't die. Anyway, hey, by the way, we don't die either, but we will appreciate it if you leave a thumbs up on the video. And if you want to support us here at Fightful.com, go ahead, leave us a super chat here on the video. Any question or statement, any amount gets your question or statement read on the air. Easy for me to say. Or go to humperchats.com. That is where Cresta pipes in and tells you all about it.
You're going to type your fingers over at humperchats.com. You're going to be like, Joel, Cresta, what is the meaning of professional wrestling? You'll put in your donation amount. We'll give you an answer. Like, the meaning of professional wrestling is 42. Thank you so much. We get to keep a little bit more of the cut. We're happy. Sean's happy. The lights stay on. Humperchats.com. Ding.
Bing. Damn it. I said I wouldn't do it.
Bing bong.
Every time. Brian Myers takes on Tyler Turva. Turva's a local talent to the Toronto indie scene. Very cool to see him on Impact. They set this match up at the press conference last week that we kind of talked about last Friday. Uh-huh. Either way, finally, the match was fine. It was as expected. I love that the whole time Gia Miller's like, Tyler Turva says he's young, fit, and stupid pretty, and he's one of those things. Cresta, what one of those things do you think Tyler Turva is? Young, fit, or stupid pretty?
Pretty.
Stupid pretty.
Oh. Pretty.
Pretty stupid. Anyway, he loses this match, but it looked pretty good at it. He's got a top rope handstand splash that he calls the Topsy Turva, which... it just tickles me. I love it when they name names very sillily, and that's it. Turva evades disaster at one point. He's trying to get into a flip position, and there's noise outside. Just ignore it, I swear. It's fine. No worries.
Okay. We don't judge. I live in New York.
Exactly. He turns it into a sunset flip pin after the flip kind of goes awry, and it almost turned into disaster, so he got... out of that, he avoided it. Good stuff there. Myers eventually crotches Turva on the top rope, hits the roster cut, gets the win. I don't have anything to add to this. Tyler Turva looked good for what was his, wasn't his, I don't know if that was his Impact debut, but he looked good here. What do you think?
I thought he looked great. Sorry, my voice tried to run away. I had to jam it back in. I thought he looked great here. He worked really well. The good hand shenanigan and all up in the match, not mad at it. I think at this point, whenever you're the ref, I would just eject them from start. Because I think in the last three matches the good hands have been in, they've been ejected from the match. So it was a good, fine standard match. I hope to see Mr. Turva. Yeah, Topsy Turva. I hope to see him back because he was really good. I like him.
He was, and he will most likely be back. Impact does come back to Windsor. He'll probably get the call for that. And in August, they're going to be back in Toronto. Wouldn't be surprised to see him back there as well. Yeah, it's good. I'm excited to see him get some topsy-turvy time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impact opens up with Bully Ray coming out. He's got to address the crowd, the audience, and explain himself. He says, do you know who I am? And by the way, when he does that, I'm now thinking it's the new Whoop. So what do you want to talk about?
I agree. That's his what do you want to talk about. Or someone who, I don't know who else has a catchphrase. It'll come to me while you're speaking, but continue.
But it's that. That's what it is what do you want to talk about? Anyway, he says, I'm the most hated man in this company in the entire wrestling business today. By the way, like outside of the NWA where he's somehow still a face. Not important. He says his entire career is about putting people through tables. Nobody's done it better. He says men, women, old ladies, owners of companies, presidents of Impact Wrestling, I put them through tables. And he says, you know, really piss me off and you get under my skin. I light that table on fire. And then he says, under siege, I took Scott D'Amore. He pissed me off and I burnt him to a crisp. And so I'm going to win the 8-4-1 match, go on to Slammiversary and become a three-time Impact champion. Out comes Steve Maclin. Maclin says, I loved every bit of what we did, but the only reason it happened is because I, Steve Maclin, allowed you to. Bully starts getting hot. He's getting real, and then all of a sudden stops himself. And he says, you know what? Steve Maclin, you're right. You're the world champion. I'm wrong. And then Maclin says, Bully, you did the right thing. You acknowledged me as the man around here, as the champion. And then Bully's like, well, what if we continued as a team? And what if we did what we did in Under Siege? We continue as a team. And Bully's like, well, not if I win it against all odds and go on a Slammiversary. And Macklin's like, well, I'd be more than happy to be your opponent. And then out come owners of City Machine Guns. This is a whole opening segment of all, everyone's just coming out Cresta. Like, I don't even know where to go with here. Shelly comes out. He's like, I'm the number one contender. Macklin's not going to walk out as champion. Bully's like, timeout. I could dress you down on the mic, Alex Shelley. I could berate you, but I'm one of the most honest people in this industry. And he calls Alex Shelley, great professional wrestler, says, you know, Motor City Machine Guns, Team 3D tore down all the houses in Impact. They did all the great things. Bully says Shelley could never win the big one. And that's what bugs him. And then Saban, Chris Saban, his tag team partner, pulls out the mic and says, ah, da, 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 Bully, 10 years ago, you said the same thing to me. And I beat you for that Impact World title.
That was such a good comeback line. Such a good line.
But then Bully comes back and he's like, and then I won it back 1 month later. And Macklin's like, okay, we're not doing this right now. We're not, no history lessons. Macklin calls Shelley arrogant, said he proved everybody wrong by becoming champion. So what makes Shelley so sure that he can beat him, that he can even do it? And Shelley just says, yep. I like this. This is where the end of this promo actually got really good. Says, what's different this time? He says, you're no Josh Alexander. If he had gotten hurt, Macklin wouldn't be champion. And then Saban challenges Bully and Macklin to a tag match. Bully says, absolutely, but not tonight. And for some reason, out comes Subculture. And I'm like, I don't know what we're doing here. But Subculture is just like, hey, listen, if we're throwing out open challenges, we'll do it. So Motor City Machine Guns versus Subculture is the dream match they want. Shelly's like, let's do it. And then Macklin's like, or they tell Macklin to keep his eyes open ahead of Against All Odds. That's the segment. For Christ's sake, Cresta, talk to me because I just did a lot of it.
Got you. Let's go from the top of the promo. When Bully Ray said I'm the most hated man in wrestling, at first I was like, normally I don't disagree with you, Bully. I mean, normally I don't agree with you, Bully, but you might be right. But then I thought about it. You're not the most hated man in wrestling. And you're not even the most hated person in Impact Wrestling. Darn. I had to really think about it. I was like, ay, ay, ay. It was good. When he said, I only allow you to do something and Bully Ray switch, I felt like in that moment, based off of Bully Ray's character, you know the type of person you can work with. You can't goad him the way you could goad Josh Alexander and be Mr. Nice Guy. With Macklin, they're positioning him in a way where it looks like he has an ego problem or a you need to respect me problem. So I can see Bully Ray trying to worm his way into it. I can also see Macklin beating him out of Bully Ray. Low-key, don't want to see that because, again, y'all know how I feel about Bully Ray, but, like, elder abuse. You already did it to PCO. I don't need to see it again. I don't need to see it again.
I kind of like the idea, though, because if Macklin beats the shit out of Bully, Macklin says, I'm the top dog. I'm the most hated, not you.
That's true. That's a fair point. That is a fair point. I'll also say what he said. Nah, skip that. Because when Bully Ray was like, you could have your little moment or whatever. It is like, bro, but Macklin did have his moment. For all of the naysayers, including myself and anyone who are like, whatever, Macklin really did that against PCO to a point where it's almost unnecessary. So you can't be mad at him, Bully Ray. The fans also for this segment was amazing. when someone said, Bully Ray had said, oh, I'm going to take it off you. Someone in the crowd said, no chance. 10 out of 10. Motor City Machine Guns, he's absolutely right. Alex Shelley's name should be considered when we talk about greats, and his name is not brought up enough. A lot of people, and I've heard this promo from similar wrestlers in Impact before, a lot of people study Alex Shelley. A lot of people copy Alex Shelley. But when you talk about your top five, you never mention Alex Shelley. But you'll look at Alex Shelley and the people that copied Alex Shelley and say them, but you won't mention Alex Shelley, which I thought was crazy. And then when he said, bro, you couldn't, your people like you don't win this, I was like, oh my God, I can hear Triple H. That's my lot. But also Chris Saban made a good point. Even though you took it off of him a month later, he still took it off of you after you said he couldn't. So also that Josh Alexander line, I can see Josh at home like, I'm not even there.
You gotta keep the seat warm. You gotta keep the throne hot for when Josh comes back, right?
I mean, I guess it was so funny because I was one of those people, much like you, Joel's like, Macklin's going to take it off of Alexander. But I have heard people say, Alex, that's not happening. They're building Macklin up to get his to get his feelings hurt. That's the PG-13 version. To get his feelings hurt. So for them to say that on TV, I was like, yikes. And then when he was like, I don't know why you laughing, old man. Josh Alexander beat you up. Motor City Machine Guns are one of the best tag teams nobody talks about, and individual wrestlers nobody talks about, because that was classic. That was such a good promo from everyone involved. And respect to Subculture for saying, psh, if y'all don't fight, I'll do it. Because not every day you get a chance to fight Motor City Machine Guns. I'll do it. I respect it.
Yeah, and listen, the match, we're going to talk about it. That was the main event tonight, Motor City Machine Guns and Subculture. And that match was friggin' great. It was a little slow at first, and we'll get into it. But man, it went all sorts of great after it picked up. Yeah, but going back to the main event, you've got Shelley and Macklin at Against All Odds. Yeah, it feels like it's going to be another Macklin win. Uh-huh. But then Bully's around the corner. The Slammiversary main event is going to be the 8-4-1 winner getting that. Where does Bully factor in? Bully, you got to assume Bully and Scott D'Amore have something coming up at Slammiversary, right?
I mean, anything Bully's in, I'm expecting shenanigans. I'm expecting cheating, eventually leading to a hardcore no rules match. So with that being said, is the 8-4-1 an X Division match?
No, it's a World Heavyweight Championship number one contender match.
Because I thought they said Bully Ray was going to go for the X Division champion to cash in or something like that.
No, he's going to win the match at Against All Odds, and the winner of the match gets the number one contendership for Slammiversary.
I mean, if he doesn't cheat or get cheated out his boots, I could see it, because there's a lot of people in that match that could potentially win. And there's a few people that negate each other. Bully is one of those people that could potentially win, but he's also someone who gets negated by other people who you've screwed over. So I don't know. And Nick Aldis is in that match. You screw over Nick Aldis, you got Sheldon Jean, yeah. But Bully Ray, much like Eddie Edwards, has screwed over tons of people.
We'll talk about the 8-4-1 match when we run down that Against All Odds card. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Nick Aldis, we got another edition of What's All This Then?
Shut up!
They bring out Jimmy Jacobs to run these. I still don't know why Jimmy Jacobs is the guy running the What's All This Then segments with Nick Aldis. Because like Gia Miller could do these, but why not her? Is she too short? Like I don't get it. Anyway.
I can't. I'm not moving. That's a missed opportunity. It's rude when you say, but if they would have said it there, it'd be funny. That's all I'm saying. It's rude when you say it.
I don't know what the deal is. I wish someone would explain to me.
That was free. I don't know why they didn't.
What's all this then? They should just call it. Anyway, and I see someone in the chat saying, like, I hated this segment. It makes Aldis seem self-centered. They have a point, so let's run it down. He says, when I'm dressed like this, I feel like a dangerous man. And the first thing I think about, I'm a Canadian. I'm like, you dress like Don Cherry. And that's not a good thing. Believe me, Canadians right now are like, no. Don Cherry has said some pretty stupid shit on the air. He was a hockey coach for years. He just became like this pundit and like this super conservative douchebag who says things on the air just to say it. Anyway, so I'm like, why are you dressed like Don Cherry? Oh, he's known for wearing like extravagant, ugly jackets and suits.
Not ugly. I thought the suit was nice.
No, he was wearing a plaid jacket and a black waistcoat. What did he think he was accomplishing here?
It's called fashion, Joel. Look it up.
What the? No, it's not. dressing like a lumberjack in Canada is not fashion.
Yo, you're on fire tonight. Joel said it's my birthday. Bang, 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 bang.
I feel tired tonight. Anyway, says he feels like a dangerous man because he's dressed like Don Cherry. And this says, I feel even more dangerous when I have the momentum behind me and I'm feeling like a dangerous man. He puts over Kenny King, which is great. Says I'll be part of 8-4-1. And then he says, what's so unique about this match is that I had to find the chemistry with three other men and then they become my adversaries. And it takes a set of skills only a world champion understands. I'm looking at that field, by the way. I'm pretty sure everyone there has been a world champion in Impact, but we'll talk about that in a minute. He says, you add the set of skills, plus the momentum, plus the ability to adapt. I guarantee that I will win 8-4-1, and I will become the next Impact World champion. Okay, so what do you think of this match? What do you think of this segment with Nick Aldis?
I have to agree with the self-centered thing now that it's been put to me in that way. I think there's better use of Nick Aldis's time. I think that there's a better way to use him to get over the fact that he is in Impact Wrestling. I think he's a great talker. I kind of feel like this segment isn't needed. You know what I mean? I feel like there's something else. I'd rather hear him backstage, like you said, with Gia Miller, and Gia Miller asking him spicy-ish questions or whatever it is. So it's not relatively offensive. I just think that there's something better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he could have done something in the ring. He could have done an in-ring interview. That would have been good. I don't know what these... Again, we've mentioned this before on the show. When Aldis does these segments, he becomes British Cody Rhodes. He's got his own segment. He's got his own, like, his own hype guy. He's got everything to himself. He's on his own Cody Island, Nick Aldis Island. And it just doesn't make sense. What are you doing here? And if this is all leading to Macklin winning and beating Nick Aldis, fine by me. But if this is leading to Nick Aldis winning the Impact World Championship, I have feelings, not happy ones, about that.
My only complaint really about that segment is that they played his theme music all throughout it, and then it gets stuck in my head because it kind of sounds like Sheamus's old music, but like a lower, slower version. So all I'm hearing is over in my head. I'm like, please, no more. I don't know. After all that hard work Macklin did, it would be a shame for him to lose it this fast. But at the same time, Impact has a lot of good people, including Nick Aldis, who I wouldn't hate being champion. If you have feelings, I have feelings too.
It's fair. You're allowed to have your feelings. I feel like, speaking of feelings, there is an opportunity to have Macklin continue winning his matches. He's a heel. He can get away with it. It's fine. But I want to see Josh Alexander eventually come back, challenge for that title that he never lost, lose the first one to Shenanigans. You can run 3 matches out of this. I wouldn't hate that. But again, there's plenty of time because we don't know what the recovery timeline is for Josh Alexander. I just know that coming in and having Nick Aldis be the next guy, you don't need that. You don't
John Brutus Magnus.
You don't need that at this juncture in Impact Wrestling. You have so many young guys and girls for that matter, because there have been female world champions, and you've talked about that on your interview in the Spotlight. We've talked about it on this show as well. There are other women who could challenge for the Impact World Championship. That doesn't need to be Nick Aldis. I don't know what this is. I've said this before. I wouldn't be surprised if this is because Nick is on a short-term handshake deal, according to reports. This is just him waiting out until WWE comes through for him, because they're in that hiring freeze. The reported hiring freeze.
Don't do my man Impact like that. I always tell people this: all your favorite stuff come from Impact. Everyone just take from Impact, and then you want to be like, Impact sucks. After you done took my people, you took my wrestling, you took my gimmicks, you took my pro. What I have left? I got nothing left. I got nothing left, man.
I'll tell you someone who also has nothing left. That's Yuya Uemura, who gets his ass beat by Edward Edwards, thanks to Lish. This match, it didn't do much for me. The end was fun, just because Yuya goes for the crossbody. Edwards gets that awkward knee coming off the top rope from Yuya, and then hits a Tiger Driver, gets 2.9, and then follows up with the Boston Knee Party. Yuya looks fine. Again, Yuya knows how to wrestle. I'm still waiting for that moment that breaks through the Yuya Uemura story. Because right now, he's still young lion on excursion. Give me more. Give me some. And unfortunately, Shota Umino in New Japan Pro Wrestling is doing the I look like Tanahashi's younger dipshit brother. So Yuya can't do that, because Yuya has the hair and the look. He looks like Tana in a good way. But they're just not letting him do that, because you have Shota being a shithead over there in New Japan, and that's his gimmick. So I don't know what to think of Yuya. I'm waiting for more, but that wasn't the point here. Post-match, Edwards pulls up Yuya and goes for the handshake, and then does the too slow, and everyone's laughing and having a good time. And then Kazarian comes out. Frankie's like, hey, you know, Edwards, you demand respect, but you refuse to give it to young stars like Yuya Uemura. this isn't how we were trained to conduct ourselves. And as Eddie walks away, Kazarian just cocks Edwards in the face, and then Liz jumps on Kazarian's back and he just flips her to the floor. So, I mean, listen, everyone kind of sucks here. Am I right? Like, what do you think of the match and what do you think of the post-match, Cresta?
I don't think everyone sucks here.
He flipped her.
Listen, Linda, listen. First of all, Lish was great here. Oh, before y'all have your pitchforks, it's like, Cresta, are you well? I like this heel version of Lish. It's obnoxious, drunk Boston woman at 3 a.m. telling you, let's go, Eddie! Kelly, when she was yelling for him to give him the Boston, he was like, I know that girl. I've definitely seen that girl do a bunch of Jaeger bombs at the bar, and now her boyfriend's outside fighting because the other guy gave her a look. I know that girl. It's better than what she was doing, which is, I'm a heel, kind of, but now she's just nasty, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Also, Frankie Kazarian, you're not a baby face here. You sucker fucks Eddie Edwards. Not saying that Eddie Edwards don't deserve it because he's Eddie Edwards, but then you also yeeted Lish, who, again, also kind of deserved it. I thought this was comedy. I'm like, yo, I guess you're on your Kevin Owens shit. You don't care about nothing. Everybody's getting it. I loved it. I thought this was great. The only one I feel like who didn't gain too much from this is Yuha. Poor Yuha. Like, we need something for the young man.
Yuha looks like an idiot. And everyone here just looks like they're assholes.
Yeah. Get that's it.
I'm like, this. Oh, God. This girl from Boston is like the worst.
I know. You know that girl. It's 3 a.m. You're trying to hail a cab, and she's on the phone. You said you were going to call me when you got home. You stupid. I can't stand you, and I can't find my shoe.
One day, I'm going to be asked to interview Lish, and she's going to be like, I see what you said about me on the post show. And I'm going to be like, oh, shit.
Listen, at the end of the day, I think this is peak heel work. Don't be mad at me, because Kazarian called your husband Ed Edwards.
Hey, we call him Edward Edwards, so I kind of get it.
What is Eddie short for? Edward. Edward Edwards.
It's Edward Edwards. Anyway, let's move on. Decay takes on OVE. This is another quick match. Black Taurus and Crazy Steve are on their way out, as far as I can tell, because Black Taurus is a free agent now. And then OVE, you've got Sami Callihan, Jake Crist. Jake Crist, of course, was here for the tapings. The opening bite from Crazy Steve made Cresta very happy. I know it did. And then just the double kick on Steve, who plays dead until being arisen by Black Taurus, and then gets Gorilla Press Slam to the outside. It's fun. They play chicken on each other's shoulders until Jake Crist hits a Crist Cutter on Crazy Steve, gets the win. That's not really what's important here, because, again, the post-match is where we set it all up. Khan from The Design shows up, and he double choke slams Callihan and Jake Crist. Then Diener Angels and Khan beat down both men. Rich Swann arrives late with the chair, and this is actually where I like. They go backstage, they're outside, and Callihan is upset that Rich Swann didn't show up quicker with the steel chair to even up the odds. And Swan's like, it's not my fault. I was in Santino's office. I was signing papers for the 8-4-1 match, and I love that they explained that. And then Callihan's like, okay, I got it. Okay, doctor is going to call the monster. Who's the monster, Cresta?
I'm going to agree with numerous people in the chat. Madman Fulton, now that I know exactly who's in OVE and not Reno Scum, so I will stop saying Reno Scum. The name is just great. I had to do some research, and Crest is a little dumb sometimes, so there you have it. I agree. I think it'll be Madman Fulton. I think the band is getting back together.
For 2 seconds, I was going to say it was PCO, then I realized he's in the 8-4-1. So
PCO was also dead.
PCO is not dead. PCO is very much still alive, regardless of what happened this past week. Can't be Abyss. He works for WWE. Madman Fulton is a good shout. I could see it being him. There are no other monsters that are attached to Sammy and Jake that would work. This is the time. That'd be good. This is a good time to bring him in, and pretty easy deal. But Design's got to win this match if they come in. It's just got to happen eventually, right?
The Design has to win something at some point, at some time. And I like Diener when he hit the antidote on
Sammy.
Crist.
He did it on Crist. You're right.
And it's like it looks so clean. And every time I see Dina wrestle, I see a significant improvement. It's one of those things that makes me wonder, like, why won't you guys, I guess, give him the same treatment y'all gave Eric Young for the design? Let them really be in their final form. I think even if Madman Fulton and with Jake Chris coming back, they could still take the loss and you would do so much for both of them. But at some point, we have to do something with the design for real, for real, for real. Like, you can't build them up like they're these monsters and you're getting, sorry, Sami Callihan, you're getting outsmarted by Sami Callihan by himself.
And you know where they're going to be for this Impact Against All Odds show, right?
I do not.
They are in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh.
OVE is Ohio versus everybody. So you do OVE with Crist and Callahan and Fulton. Hopefully the design win in this case, because it would be nice to have them pick up a win and then do something on the Fallout that leads to Slammiversary for the blow-off between Diener and Callahan. It's got to happen. They got to get to the finish of this, right?
I mean, I thought it would be a nice welcome back for OVE as a faction if they won in Ohio. But can you imagine the heat? I mean, I saw some heat last night. But the heat? Like, Don Callis heat, Dominic heat, OVE losing in Ohio.
I mean, it works. And again, you got to get to Slammiversary, and you can't do it with a dead feud between Diener and Callahan. You got to finish it off.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm always against your hometown hero losing, especially after you have them just form. But the heat on that would be disgusting. And then going into Slammiversary, people be like, yo, Diener, you got to go. But then at that point, you have to have the design win every time up until then, in my opinion. In my opinion, they've been losing far too much for far too long. They got to win everything until then.
And if you want to win everything, always, forevermore, come and join us at FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. You have so much news. Even tonight, we had Lady Frost interview notes. We had information on a certain Impact talent who's about to become a free agent whose name is not Jordan Grace. We also dropped that news during Under Siege, but there's more. There are other Impact stars who are heading towards potential free agency. We have that news on FightfulSelect.com. We have news on a potential new Universal Championship belt. If y'all are belt people, you got to join us on FightfulSelect.com. $5, that's what you got. Weekender podcast with Steven Jensen, who joins us for the big pay-per-views. You got Ask Grapsity. They dropped one today. Usually Sean Ross Sapp does a Q&A, but once in a while, Jimmy Van does one too, and I get to host those with him. We're going to do one this month eventually. Don't know when. We'll figure it out. But either way, that's coming here on FightfulSelect.com, along with Sour Grabs, if you want the sour side of WWE Raw and SmackDown with Alex Pulaski and our friend Kate from the ROH Post Show and Coexisting After Dark, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We drop podcasts so often on this channel that it's worth it. It's worth it for $5. Get all that exclusive content, not just the news, but also exclusive talkie talk. That's us over at FightfulSelect.com. Bing?
Bing!
Oh, okay, cool. Speaking of which, Trinity takes on Savannah Evans. It was a good match. I actually really liked it.
Yes. A very pretty match.
Yeah, very pretty match. No surprise, Trinity gets the win. I like that Starstruck is the move that Trinity is going to go with. Uh-huh. And I especially like it because it's going to be Trinity versus Deonna Purrazzo for the Impact Knockouts Championship at Slammiversary. We have to get there beforehand. We'll talk about the match. We'll talk about where we go. But I love that Starstruck is an arms-based submission. And Deonna's Venus de Milo is an arms-based submission. So those two are absolutely going to go ham on each other. There's a lot of storytelling available there in that submission match, because it's not a submission match, but I feel like it may as well be, because I feel like it's going to end in submission. What do you, how do you feel about Trinity and Deonna coming up? And then we'll talk about Trinity and Savannah Evans, because there's more to the story than just what happened in the match.
So to talk about Trinity and Deonna first, I do like that idea that you said about the both of them both having arm arm submissions. That's a good shot. I didn't think about that before you said it. I also noticed tonight that at the end, when she, obviously Trinity tapped out Savannah Evans, when she did Starstruck, it was kind of a modified Starstruck this time. She had Savannah Evans' leg, her arm, I'm sorry, her, and her leg was higher. It looked like almost like an octopus stretch on the ground. And any other time I've seen her do it, it's more like a, I'm pushing you back and leaning you forward at the same time. I like that it can be modified, because when you go against someone like Deonna Purrazzo, you need to be on your absolute A game, because she's going to outpower you and she's going to outthink you. And I don't know how this is going to go. On the one hand, I could see them putting the title on Trinity. I think that's a great way to put buzz on the title and the division. But also, I can see them having Deonna maintain. I also see a screwy finish. I'm not going to hold you. Depending on how Giselle Shaw feels, this might be a screwy finish. There might be a screwy finish.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, let's talk about Trinity, easy for me to say, and Savannah Evans. I like early on, it's Trinity just trying to overpower Evans, but of course Savannah is the much bigger competitor, so she's going to take her down every time. There's good storytelling in this match. It's a simple, straight up, you know, bigger person versus littler person match. Uh-huh. Trinity is going and getting the speed up, getting the kicks, and then Evans just drops her with a big old pop up power bomb for two, and then gets that Trinity gets that glow kick, or the disaster kick, as Cody Rhodes would call it. They do a top rope crossbody by Trinity on Giselle Shaw that looked a little awkward, but they ended up kind of picking up from there. It's okay. Then they do the sunset flip into the Starstruck. That's the submission victory for Trinity. And then Trinity calls out Deonna Purrazzo. Purrazzo comes out. The challenge is laid down by Trinity. Deonna says, let's dance. Giselle Shaw and Savannah Evans go after Trinity and Deonna Purrazzo. Jay Vidal hits Deonna with a loaded purse and then gets dropped by Trinity, I think it was. And then Shaw picks up the purse and then takes out Trinity. And then out comes Jordynne Grace. And Jordynne Grace gets basically kneed to death by Giselle Shaw. And that seems to be the end of Jordynne Grace and Impact for now. Once again, one thing we reported that Jordynne Grace is a free agent as of now. She is wrapping up with Impact Wrestling. This was her last appearance. They didn't kill her, which is usually the sign that Impact is done with you forever and ever. Amen. No, instead they played it off as she was taken out so badly that they're hoping that maybe Jordynne comes back sooner than later. What do you think of this potential write-off for Jordynne Grace?
It was nice. I think that when you have a chance in Giselle Shaw's position, taking out Jordynne Grace, assisted or not, is still a good notch on your belt, on your bad guy belt. Jordynne Grace is a name, and that's a powerhouse name. So good for her. Good for her and the both of them. I hope Jordynne Grace comes back, but I can understand if you want to go to greener pastures. I'm looking at my notes, y'all. Give me a second. My brain is soft. A smooth brain. The one thing I will complain about in that post-match with Deonna and Trinity, I just kind of wish that Trinity's promo was a little bit more confident instead of, I'm not going to take too much of your time. No, you deserved it. You deserve it. You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see. I think she wrestled great. I think the post-match was great. I foresee a Deonna and Trinity versus Shaw and Evans match on the horizon. So I'm not upset.
Well, they've already announced it. It's happening against all odds.
Well, that's why I get for paying attention, ladies and gentlemen. This is why I write things down, because smooth brain.
this is the match for against all odds to get us closer. It's a can they coexist type of tag match. That's fine. Again, Trinity and Deonna on the same team taking on Giselle Shaw and Savannah Evans is a good deal. They're really going to spend a lot of time telling the story of Deonna and Trinity and who is the babyface, who is the heel, or at least who do you want to cheer? Because both women are very firmly babyfaces in Impact Wrestling right now, and they want to have Deonna cheered, but they also know that Trinity is being cheered as well because she's very well-liked. So there's going to be some back and forth. I think that both women are going to find their heat, but I also think that both women are going to, you know, I think it's going to be a respect battle, but also one that gets a little dirty as well.
I think when that match does happen, the Impact fans, sometimes we're, I know you can include yourself, Chris. You've been watching Impact for a long time. You're a fan. You like the product. I think us Impact fans will cheer no matter what. And in a situation like this, it's literally may the best woman win. May the best storyline, I hope it makes the most sense, because no matter who they put the belt on or who they, if they keep it with Perrazzo, I don't think it does anything to diminish Trinity or the stock. If anything, I think it elevates everyone, because say you can't just walk in here and be like, I want a title shot. If they put it on Trinity, there's nothing wrong with that. It elevates. Trinity elevates the whole brand. She's one of the biggest names, one of the most talked about stories for the past 2 years. And now you have one of the people who was involved in that story in your locker room. So it would make sense. And plus, I don't want to say that she's the biggest star they have, because I think a lot of these people are stars in their own right. But I think putting the belts on her from a business standpoint is an amazing decision. And I don't think, again, it doesn't diminish anybody, because this is one of the toughest locker rooms. And if we want to say technically Jordynne Grace was number two, Deonna Purrazzo is number one then. So what does that say about Trinity?
I'm interested in seeing what the reaction is if Trinity walks out Impact Knockouts champion after Slammiversary. I'm interested in seeing the reaction if she loses, but it feels like she should be winning this title at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know how long she wants to stay in Impact or what her plans are long term, but it feels to me like she has something to prove. And this is a great opportunity for her to prove it, whether or not she wins. But I want to see what the reaction is like from Impact fans once the match happens and everything does or doesn't in terms of her winning the title.
Yeah, no. That's fair, because I feel like a lot of Impact fans are very protective of Impact in general, especially this iteration that from people's mouths, Impact wasn't always the greatest. And this iteration of it has been like, bro, please watch Impact. It's so good. So people are going to be very protective of it. And I think that if you watch it, and I've seen the improvement from all three times with Trinity, you know, so if this is what she's doing just three times, bro, she'll be fine. I think what we may be looking for is more of a brutal killer, but she's not that. And maybe the time will come for that. And that'll probably be a Masha. I think having her go over on a Deonna is great because Deonna is a technical, proficient wrestler. And then you have a measuring stick like a Kelly or a Masha later. I think everyone involved here looks great, no matter what you do. I don't know how you book it, but I am going to be watching and I'm sports entertained already, just fantasy booking it in my mind.
My brain has Trinity winning at Slammiversary, especially because she has been on the show. She has been competing. She has been a presence. She's been promoting. She has been the, she hasn't shown up and you know, just been there. She's been a part of it. She's integrated herself. She's spoken highly of her experience so far. She has waved the flag for Impact Wrestling. And I think a lot of fans do appreciate that. So with that in mind, there's a huge reach as well for Trinity winning that title. It does bring a lot of eyes to the product.
Agreed.
I understand, like, Trinity brings in a demographic. She brings in a group of fans that some of them listen. Some of them are going to come in and stay and watch her match and go home. And that's still okay because they're still watching Impact and there's still something else might get them invested if you want them to stick around and watch Impact. But they're still going to watch. They're still going to watch something. And I'm sure that the same thing happens with certain fans of other wrestlers in other companies. We see it again. Mercedes is another one. Mercedes Moné with New Japan Pro Wrestling brought in a lot of eyeballs to New Japan. Whether or not that's effective is another conversation. But it really does depend on the match. It depends on the experience. It depends on the plans for Trinity. They bring her in. She wins in July after appearing, you know, a couple of months ago in Chicago. If this goes until October, all right, that's fine. Give her a few months with the title belt and then see what she wants to do or see what the plan is. If she wants to be long-term or if she has other plans to move along.
Yeah, no, that's a good, that is a safe thing to say. And a good thing to say. I have to echo Frankie Kazarian here when he said, bet on yourself. You know, even Josh Alexander, he said, I chose option C. I think Impact Wrestling, especially if you are a woman or a female professional wrestler, that Impact Wrestling is a great place for you to bet on yourself, test your mettle, because I think you will find all types of wrestling there. All type, not just, I feel like, especially for women, there's sometimes such a limited scope of what people expect and want women to wrestle as. And I think Impact, you get every bit of it, every way to every flavor. So if you find what you want and you are a better technical wrestler than, I guess, a sports entertainer, you can find your way in Impact. So I'm so happy. No matter what, like I said, I feel like it gets elevated no matter what. But from a business standpoint, selfishly speaking, I want her to win it. So.
And again, that's not a bad thing. I see in the chat, someone's talking about Kenny Omega bringing them into Impact Wrestling. They were an AEW fan. Kenny won. They stuck around. They liked what they saw in Impact. That happens too.
Yeah.
And that's totally what we're talking about here with Trinity. There are fans who will come in. Some will be like, all right, I only want to watch what she's doing. Fine. But some might see someone like Jody Threat, or they might see someone like, I don't know, Steve Macklin. I don't know. Maybe they'll like a character and they'll come in and be like, oh, I like this. This is different. I want to see more of this. And that's a good thing. You know, everyone can find their way and get their shine. And again, to piggyback on the point that you and I make quite often, when you come to Impact, you're often there and kind of renewing your ability and you're renewing your value for other companies to pick you up down the line, WWE, AEW, whatever it is. But that doesn't mean it's the be all end all for everyone. You know, Trinity might be like, I want to plant my flag here and stay here for the rest of my life. We don't know what her intentions or her plans are.
And that wouldn't be half bad. I feel like when you think about Impact, a lot of people have gotten starts, rejuvenated, and have found their way there and say, you know what, this place kind of rocks. I'm going to stay. You know, like, this place is the best. And I feel like Impact rewards you whether you want to stay or go, but especially if you want to stay. Say what you want about Eddie Edwards. Eddie Edwards is always wrestling on a pay-per-view, unless you want to take time off.
Yep.
Say what you want about PCO and Sami Callihan, but they always making sure they on that card. You know what I mean? So I respect it. So this is interesting. I really want more people. I cannot stop praising Impact enough, and I want more people to watch it. So if she brings more eyes to it, like you said, even if it's just, what the hell is this moose guy doing afterwards? Gotcha, bitch. You know?
True. Anyway, let's move on. Danny Luna versus Jody Threat. By the way, good conversation. That was, that's good. I it gets me more invested in Trinity's impact run, because there are some days where I wonder to myself, like, what's she really doing here? But there's no wrong answer. Well, I mean, there is, but what she's doing has not proven to be a wrong answer.
I think that Impact is, again, one of these places where if you want to talk about it, I think it's easy just like, Impact sucks, bitch, call it a day. But if you want to have a nuanced conversation about it, I'm always down for that, you know? And no matter if it was Trinity or Mercedes or even Becky Lynch, I don't think it matters who it is. If you go to Impact Wrestling, you will change for the better, and everyone around you will be for the better. I took a wrestling class many moons ago, and one of the first things they taught us is that the first goal of professional wrestling is to make somebody else look better. And I think Impact does a good job of keeping true to that nature. So watch Impact. That's the moral. Watch Impact Wrestling.
It is. Yeah, that's right. Danny Luna and Jody Threat. I enjoyed this
match. What a good match.
It was so different from the other Jody Threat matches that we've talked about. I like that Danny Luna, who has been around for a little while, she did her homework. She evaded Jody Threat's German suplex after the middle rope dive that Threat usually does. Mm-hmm. Threat does this like Michinoku Grace driver hybrid that looks like it almost knocked out Danny Luna, but it was real good. Danny comes back, hits that big lariat and into a powerbomb. Then another stiff lariat, 2.9 is good stuff. And then Threat debuts the F-bomb on Impact Wrestling. Matt Raywald had mentioned that he'd seen it on the indies, and I've seen it too. It's like a rack powerbomb. It looked a little rough. I think it's just because people don't know how to take it yet. Danny Luna tried. She seems to have never taken it. The more people see it and the more people learn how to do it, the better it's going to look. We said the same thing about the F416 when she debuted the first time in Impact. So now Jody's trying a new thing, a new finish. I like that she's kind of expanded her arsenal. What did you think of Luna and Threat?
I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again. Jody Threat is a little wrestling gremlin, and I live. I love her theme song. I like how she's become more confident in the ring, especially in Impact. She's so good. I felt a little bit bad at first for Danny Luna. Like, damn, Jody Threat is about to beat you up, and Subculture about to lose twice tonight. But that is not what happened. Danny Luna by no means got beat up. They beat each other up. That was a fight. The girls were fighting tonight. At first, it felt like Jody Threat was in control of the beginning of the match, and even Raywalt put over a commentary that Luna was or is a power lifter, and that if she could grab Threat, she could manhandle her. And that's what she did for a minute. Like you said, there was that weird tiger driver thing that Threat did to Danny, which was... And then she turned that into that other F-bomb. I was like, Jesus Christ! I can't wait for the three-way between her, Kinky Kelly, and Masha.
It's going to be real good.
Oh, listen, if it bleeds too much, this is going to be me watching it.
Is that the Slammiversary match in your head?
I don't see a reason for Jody to be involved in that yet. I don't see how she fits in that yet. And I think, like with Killer Kelly, how we gave her so much time, we need to do the same with Jody Threat for just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. I think since the Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich feud just is really starting, that there's more fuel in that tank. You could eventually add Jody Threat, but Jody Threat seems to be doing the don't bully anyone, and these two are bullying each other.
You see, I see this as perfect because Kelly is dominating right now. Masha has always been dominant. Jody Threat is undefeated. So Kelly and Masha can start a whole, like, one of us deserves to be the next in line for the Knockouts Championship. Kelly could be the one to be like, I deserve it. Masha, you suck. And then Jody could come out and just be like, I'm undefeated. I've beaten everybody here. Not yet, but let's say later on in a couple of weeks, you know, I've beaten everyone that's been put in front of me. I deserve next. And then you do the three-way at Slammiversary. Winner becomes number one contender for the Impact Knockouts Championship.
I like it. And all I'm hearing in my mind is Jody Threat's music. I was raised in hell.
I don't know who did that theme music. It's different from her indie music, but it's pretty good.
It's so good. It's little gremlin music. I live. I'm a little gremlin too, so I live.
Speaking of gremlins, Santino is backstage with Joe Hendry. Hendry's like, you'll get your revenge. He'll get his revenge. But he says, Santino, you should get yours. Santino's like, oh, I'm not an active competitor. I can't do his thing. They end up sounding like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
I forgot. You unlocked the cursed memory. I forgot about Triumph the Insult Dog.
I'm not an active competitor for me to poop on. Sorry.
Back oh, man. It. Early 2000s.
So old. Anyway, Kenny King and Sheldon Jean walk in. They remind everyone that Jean broke Hendry's nose in Toronto after Rebellion. And then Santino is like, fine, okay, I'll make Sheldon Jean versus Joe Hendry for next week. They walk out, and then he says that against all odds, it's going to be Hendry versus Dango for the Digital Media Championship. Once again, we don't want to see another disqualification. So is it going to be a dot combat match? What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this match, Crest Star?
Joel, I have a confession. I don't want to see this match because I think Dango takes it off of Hendry.
It's entirely possible.
I think at this point that Dango would take it off of Hendry. It would solidify this new character. And no shade, I think Hendry's done what he needs to have done with that Digital Media Championship. I don't like it, but I think that if he wrestles him again, and it's going to be even worse if it's a dot-com match, because that means no disqualifications, and no disqualifications means Yan Bag Yahtzee.
Yeah, but it also means that the Sony Dreamcast makes another appearance.
At the expense of Joe Hendry dropping the title, I believe.
If they do a Triumph the Comic Insult Dog spot, I know they're watching.
It's going to be you on the other side of the ring like, Joel!
That's a PS2, and it has a Triumph the Insult Comic Dog DVD inside.
With a cigar in your mouth.
Come over here. I want to talk to you.
Santino can hit him with the serpent. He can hit him with the cobra. It'll be a hardcore match. And a hardcore match. Oh, my God. And then he can fight on Johnny Swinger's pushy. Ah, it's like arm wrestling.
What are we doing here?
No, I don't belong here. What the hell am I doing here? Super, I don't belong here.
Super serious wrestler Dango getting interviewed by Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Dango, you were a dancer. Tell me about when you ballroom danced.
This is the best darn interview show you're ever going to see on over here on Fightful, okay?
This is a post show.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what show this is. It's the best one, okay? Anyway. Shaw Ross, that pays us the big bucks.
Kinky Kelly's back in all draped in red. And she says, when two humans are locked in a cage, their instincts take over and they fight like animals. But when you chain two humans together, they fight like dogs. Let's allow our instincts to take over and our primal nature too. And then says, make yourself useful, Masha. Let me wrap this chain around your neck while I gaze into your eyes, while I watch the most basic instincts kick in, the sweet instinct to survive.
This is a children's program. This is a children. You know children watch this program, ma'am. This is a children's program.
I don't know what happened to Killer Kelly. She's always been kinky, but man, we're leaning into it.
She had the red light on and everything, girl. She said, happy pride. Come here, girl. I mean, I ain't mad at it. I want to watch. But like, this is, I don't know what we were promoting here. A dog collar match or, I'm a watch, but I don't know what was being promoted.
Honestly, if I don't see Johnny Swinger get involved in this, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Zicky Dice is going to make it win.
I trained her in the dungeon, Daddy. She's got all the moves now. That's all it needs to be.
Book it, you cowards. Have them do a monster's ball match in the Swinger dungeon. Do it, you cowards.
Like, I don't even know what we're... I love it, but also I'm like, why? What's going on with this woman? Like, does someone need to step in and just be like, you okay? You cool? We need to talk about it?
Nah, man. You know, sometimes when two adults love each other, they don't know how to express it.
Killer Kelly, I have a dog. Put the chain on me. Sorry. Let's call back.
That's exactly how that would have went, too. Yeah. I have a dog. You can put the collar on me. Ah.
There's a segment of our audience right now who's very confused. Rightfully.
If you were born in 2003, I'm sorry.
Anyway, they're going to do that Knockouts dog collar match at Against All Odds. And they're going to do Henry and Dango at Against All Odds. The X Division Championship, they're going to do a rematch. Saban and Trey Miguel. I'm looking forward to that one. Saban could do it. This could be nine-time Saban.
Nine times. If they don't do a video package with him saying nine times and showing him every time he won the title, it's a missed opportunity. He said it nine times on TV. Just do it. Just comedy comes in threes. This could be the second time. And when he wins, you could do it the third time. Just do it.
Hey, Impact post-production. I know some of y'all watch this. Let's get on it. Come on. Kazarian takes on Edward Edwards because, of course, he does in a battle of for who is the worst. Sean Evans take on Perrazzo and Trinity. We talked about that. It's going to be a good match. For the Impact tag titles, the Good Hands are finally getting their match against Ace of Base. I don't expect that to be a long match, but I would be surprised if they do a screw job finish and Good Hands win. Ooh, I would hate that, but I'd also secretly love it. The Impact World titles on the line, Macklin and Alex Shelley, and the aforementioned 8-4-1 match. It's going to be Bully Ray, Jonathan Gresham, Heath, Nick Aldis, Moose, Speedball Mike Bailey, Rich Swann, and PCO. So everyone in this match has been a world champion except for Speedball and Heath. PCO was a world champion. Swann was a world champion. Moose was a world champion. Aldis was a world champion. Jonathan Gresham was ROH champion, and he brought that title to Impact, so I'm going to count it.
Okay.
Bully was a world champion. So everyone here except for
Heath. I did not know PCO was a world champion.
Yes, he was. He was a Ring of Honor world champion, too.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's when Ring of Honor was really on all cylinders, let me tell you. Pandemic ROH, baby.
You know what? Stranger things have been known to happen.
I think Roosh... Okay, I can't remember because the lineage is messed up in my head. Roosh and PCO had a match for the title. I don't know who was champion and who beat who, but I'm pretty sure the PCO beat Roosh for the ROH World Championship.
Roosh lost?
Right, that was scary enough. Anyway, 8-4-1 starts. It's eight men in the ring. They do a 4-on-4 match. So Bully, Gresham, Heath, and Aldis are on one side. Moose, Speedball, Swann, and PCO are on the other. Feels like the four who win this is going to be Bully, Gresham, Heath, and Aldis. Those four are going to compete in a fatal four-way for the Impact number one contendership of the world championship. So Bully, Gresham, Heath, and Aldis. Does Aldis pin Bully or Heath?
You know, Jonathan Gresham is taking that pin. That's what I had to think about it. I'm so
Gresham doesn't already make sense.
You know Gresham is taking that pin. Heath also kind of makes sense, but I know Gresham is taking that pin, and I'm upset. It's either Aldis or Bully, and one of them is going to have to be neutralized by somebody else. Oh, Lord have mercy. I just thought, the more I'm thinking about Bully Ray pinning Jonathan Gresham is sending me into orbit, and I don't want that.
Why does Gresham have to eat the pin? Why can't Heath eat the pin?
Because I know how Impact give it up.
Valid point.
I think last time Gresham didn't eat the pin because UI ate the pin.
I would not be surprised if Gresham eats the pin and then we find out, and this is not me reporting, this is pure speculation, totally out of my brain.
Your speculation. I didn't say anything.
Do not think that I'm reporting anything. If Gresham eats the pin at Against All Odds, I would not be surprised if we find out that Gresham is also on the verge of free agency in Impact Wrestling.
That would make sense.
It would be 6 months after he signed. It might be it, but we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. I think it is between Heath and Gresham eating the pin, But I feel like Heath has been through a lot right now. Isn't Rhino? Didn't Rhino get his knee shredded again? This time by Macklin, Steve Macklin.
Yes. So Heath has reason to want to win this match. And maybe they'll tell us why next week. I don't think they will, but we'll see.
Place your bets. Who's eating the pin?
We'll find out. Next week is Against All Odds. We will be here Friday. What is it? June the 8th? June the 9th. We will be here live talking about that show, breaking it down here on Fightful.com. Next week on the show, the Knockouts tag titles are on the line. The Coven takes on the Death Dolls. And then in a preview of the 841, Moose and Gresham tag against Nick Aldis and Rich Swann.
One of these things is not like the others.
Who did Gresham piss off in Impact? That's my one question now. It's getting weird.
I mean, but to me, Moose and Swann. No, I'm sorry. Moose and Gresham as a team make more sense than Swann and Edwards.
I mean, I'm thinking of who's in this match. Moose and... You could have Gresham and Speedball versus Aldis and Swann? Good on PCO and Moose? Even that's weird.
I'm not going to hold you, Chief. This 841 match is kind of weird. Because almost all of these people, Steve Macklin has already beat up. I'll just say it.
No, he has. Okay. Macklin has not beaten Bully.
Speedball.
Okay, hold on. Bully, Gresham, Heath, and Aldis. He hasn't beaten Gresham. At least not in the Impact World title thing. In fact, Gresham has beaten Steve Macklin. When Gresham came in as the Impact, or as the ROH champion, they had a match and Gresham won. Aldis hasn't beaten Macklin. Macklin hasn't beaten Aldis.
Aldis just got here.
I'm just saying, your point is a little moot here. Moose has not beaten Macklin in this case. Speedball and Macklin haven't done anything either since X Division title.
I'm trying to think. Did Macklin beat up Moose? I thought I could have swore for sure because Macklin was just beating up everybody. Or was he beating up the same eight people every week?
Anyway, Moose and Gresham versus Aldis and Swann. That's a tag team.
Moose and Gresham versus Wrestling!
Very strange. Main event time. Subculture versus Motor City Machine Guns. This is a great match.
It was.
All Motor City Machine Guns early. Eventually, Subculture takes over. They get some good double teaming on Shelly and then a double mid-rope dive on Sully and Shaven. Shelly and Sabin, not Sully and Shaven. Anyway. later in the match, Webster goes around the post, hits a Hurricane Rana on Chris Sabin. The Magic Killer from Motor City Machine Guns is great, hits 2.9. There's a lot of attempted like double team stuff, really good, fun, fluid wrestling. Sabin hits Mandrews with a Doomsday dropkick, but Mandrews no-sells it. That was weird. And then Subculture tries to do double team stuff to Sabin. They break it up. And then they're making Motor City Machine Guns like incredibly strong as Sabin hits Cradle Shock, turned into a Stun Dog Millionaire by Mandrews. Keep going for the Cradle Shock. Uh-huh. And Mandrews hits a Stun Dog Millionaire out of that. And then Motor City Machine Guns hit Mandrew with the facial, and then Webster gets a dirt bomb. That is the finish. Great match. I just completely bungled my way through it. Talk to me, Cresta Star.
Flash Morgan Webster literally is blink and you miss him. He is phenomenal, to say the least. That man was zip-zopping, zoo-wopping all over that match. There's no other way to describe it. The arm drag where, I don't know who did this. If it was Mandrews or, no, it was Flash Morgan Webster. There was an arm drag where he caught Shelly midair and it felt like visually he reversed the motion. Maybe my brain lagged out, but it looked so cool because like literally he caught a midair and just turned it around. It was, whoa, dude, that was so cool. Like I can see why Subculture said this is a dream match for us. And if I was I hate using the term flippy-doo, but it's just so catchy and funny to me. But if I was a high flyer tag team wrestler, I would want to wrestle the Motor City Machine because like that is a bucket list. And you absolutely got that. I like that how both, like you said, both teams tried to double team each other in the ring. but the experience Motor City Machine Guns and even those subcultures experience as a team, but Motor City Machine Guns have been teams since the dawn of time. So they were able to reverse the double team reverse, and that was really cool as well. And like you said, that dark bomb was, yikes, I'd be mad. I don't know. I kind of put marbles down on Grandpa when they walk up the rail.
It's a good move, the dirt bomb. I like it.
It's a good name, too.
Yeah, I like that Motor City Machine Guns took over the Magic Killer from Gallows and Anderson. I like that they took the Good Brothers finish. They started using it because they were the last match that Good Brothers had in Impact. And that was a fun final match for them. Subculture comes in. They didn't win at all during the weekend, but they won a lot of minds over in Impact because that was a good weekend for them, a busy weekend for them. They worked a lot of matches, had really strong appearances, and overall just they didn't win, but they definitely won, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. I could see them. Sorry. I could see them
sneezing sticking time. Around.
Yo, I'm dying tonight. I don't know what is happening, bro. See, you're dying too.
I keep thinking I'm going to sneeze and then it doesn't happen. And it's so frustrating. It's allergy season. It sucks.
That's what, every time I go to talk, my voice is like, hey, Barbara. Like, no, Barbara, not now. But it's like, I would want subculture to stay around. And even if it's not Aces of Base, maybe have a tag team title run or a tag team kerfuffle. Let's say the Good Hands cheat Ace of Base out they boots. I wouldn't be mad if the subculture would fight them. Or even if you have now, if OVE gets back together for real, for real. I think there's a lot of things here for them. Sheldon Jean and Kenny King versus subculture. There's a lot of people for them to wrestle. And Dani Luna is no slouch herself. I think that any woman in addition to the Knockouts division is an asset, and she's a really good wrestler. My only complaint, now that I'm really thinking about it, is that the Knockouts division just needs a little bit more high-flying women, in my opinion. There's a lot of women who are like, break yourself.
They need like a luchadora, someone who's going to come in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate that. But also, I don't think the subculture signed. There are a few things that stop that. One being that they're still based in the UK. The other thing being the Impact does this every time, right? Well, they'll bring in a special guest for the tapings. They were the special guest for the set of tapings. I think Jake Crist is more likely to stick around, having been the special guest, just to play out maybe the next couple of months, but also he's more local than subculture, right? You're not buying plane tickets to go across the pond. So
yeah, you did make the joke that they thought it was London, England, and not London, Canada.
But they made the most of their appearance. They had a great time. They had great showings. I don't see a world in which they are not brought back for special events. There's always an opportunity. And also, Impact's going halfway across the world and at the end of June. So who knows? Maybe subculture makes their way over to Wagga Wagga, Australia.
Ollie, Ollie, Ollie. Oi, oi, oi. Or is it Aussie, Aussie, Aussie? Sorry, I'm a dumb American.
It is Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Yes, it is.
Dumb American. I'm sorry, y'all. Please don't kill me.
Our Aussie fans are very upset. Anyway, that's Impact Wrestling for June the 1st, 2023. Cresta Star, get us out of here. Plug your stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure seeing you here Fridays for the Post-Impact Show with Joel Pearl. Did you know that I'm going to be on the Post-Impact Show? No, that's not it. That's not what I meant to say. Take two. Thank you guys so much for being here every Thursday with myself and Joel Pearl for the Post-Impact Show. Did you know I'm going to be hosting or part of a three-man booth for the AEW Collision Show starting June 17th? Myself, Rick Uccino. I hope I say your name right. How do you say his name, Joel?
Rick Uccino.
Uccino or Uccino?
Uccino, actually.
Uccino. Rick Uccino. And your wrestle friend, Ridian. We are going to be covering all things that happened on AEW Collision. I almost said AEW CM Punk, because that's what it is. I'm so excited. I get to cover CM Punk. Anyways, on Fridays, for the most part, and Wednesdays, you can find me on twitch.tv or tiktok.com at Cresta Star, playing video games or watching wrestling with you. If that was a lot because I'm crazy, right below me, you have Cresta the Star on Twitter. Linktree is in my bio. Follow me everywhere there. Joe Pearl, my brain is like, I don't want to talk anymore. Please take me. Take it away, please.
Late shows are the best shows. I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. You'll find me here and you'll find me in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. Eastern till noon over on Fightful Overbooked. Myself and Jeremy Lambert, we're joined by people from all over the wrestling world talking about the stories, the shows, the matches, everything. Go follow us over at Fightful Overbooked. That is our sister channel where we are trending upwards. There's a lot of really great content there, not just myself and Jeremy, but there are so many other creators, so many other people. Rob and Maggie do their show over there. You've got Tag Talk with Haley and Kylie. Myself and Kate do a show there every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We call it Joel and Kate at 8. So, you know, that's really original, isn't it? And a ton of other content. Just go check it out. Fightful Overbooked. On top of that, you'll find me and Cressy here every Thursday. And of course, next Friday, against all odds, we will be doing a post show here on youtube.com/Fightful. Until then, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Happy birthday, Joel!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.